People.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Today on Don't You Know, we visit with Mark Peterson, Executive Director of the Winona Historical Society in Winona, Minnesota. This year marks the 75th anniversary of the society, which is located in downtown. Mark will tell us about how the society began, about its members, the programs and services the society has to offer, and about the new addition, which opened on July 18th. We visited with Mark as the final touches of the new addition were being put on. In the background, you may hear the familiar sounds of construction and remodeling happening. KQAL's own Anna Flores reports.
Well, my name is Mark Peterson. I'm the Executive Director of the Winona County Historical Society.
Why don't you tell me about how the Historical Society began? Who founded it, and why did it begin?
Well, the Historical Society was started back on June 21st, 1935, and of course we're celebrating our 75th anniversary this year. And the early origins of the Historical Society had a lot to do with a local 4-H leader by the name of Mildred Sebo. She organized a historical pageant that was held in Whitewater State Park, mostly focusing on the pioneers of Winona County, but it was so successful and drew such a huge crowd that within just a few weeks, 9 people gathered in the courtroom of the Winona County Courthouse and started the Winona County Historical Society. And there was a movement in the 1920s and the 1930s led by the Minnesota Historical Society to establish a county historical society in all 87 counties in Minnesota. There's 87 counties, as I said. I think we were number 43, so we're right in the middle. I'm a little surprised Winona wasn't one of the first out of the box, but nevertheless, we've been around now for 75 years, and it's quite a historic year for us.
Who is involved with the society?
Well, the society has actually the largest membership of any county historical society in Minnesota. We right now have over 1,700 members, which for a county historical society is quite remarkable. The people that are involved are really people of all walks of life. One of my favorite cartoons is out of the New Yorker with two ladies sitting on a couch and one looking at the other and saying, I was thinking about joining the Historical Society, but I don't think I want to be that kind of person. And, you know, it's really the Historical Society. We have people from foundry workers to wealthy business owners and everybody in between. Whether your family's been around here for 150 years or 100 years or you just moved to town last week, the Historical Society is here to provide, I think, a sense of place for people and an understanding about where they live and where they've come from and why we are or why we look like what we do. And so it's really a little bit of everybody. It's our members. It's not only the members that sort of own the Historical Society, and it's run by a board of directors like most nonprofit museums are, but it's the public that uses the facility and comes in and tours the exhibits or uses our library and archives or attends a program that we put on. It's really everybody and people of all ages.
Can you tell me about some of the services and events you have for the community?
Absolutely. We provide walking tours of downtown Winona. We work with all the school children. We provide pioneer school programs out at the Arches Museum in the summertime. And, you know, besides the Winona County History Center, as we call our facility downtown Winona now, we operate the Bunnell House in Homer, and we operate the Arches Museum of Pioneer Life between Stockton and Lewiston during the summer months. The cemetery walk, and we do a Christmas house tour every year. Chocolate Shakespeare and Champagne event in June, working with the Great River Shakespeare Festival. The real heart and soul, I think, of the Historical Society is our library and archives. We, you know, genealogists, researchers, so many people use that facility during the year. Our library and archives is really, you know, the real resource, I think, in addition to the exhibits and the special exhibits we do. This fall, we have a special exhibit coming in the month of October, November from the Smithsonian about immigration, and we're building a lot of programming around that. We have a regular lecture series. We do at least 2 to 3 public free lectures every month, a history book club that meets the fourth Wednesday of each month. We've got an American Girl Club that meets, and you know, around the stories and the books of the American Girl collection.
Do you have any memorable stories that you'd like to share with us?
Well, don't get me started. I have lots of stories. I've been here a long time. You know, one of my favorite moments too was not too long after I started here. I had a call from a guy who lived in Black River, actually lived in Virginia, but his parents lived in Black River Falls, Wisconsin, and his grandparents always considered Winona their home, and they had a lot of stuff, and would I be interested in coming over there and taking a look? And basically, you can have anything you want. The name Myrtle and Ben Huntley didn't mean much to me at the time, but when I got over there and walked in this house and looked around, and this guy literally didn't want anything. He didn't want his baby pictures, his family pictures, any of the furniture, nothing. So it was just like, help yourself. And when I found out the story about Ben Huntley, who was a pioneer movie maker, he was making feature films here back in 1912 in downtown Winona. His wife Myrtle came from a long vaudeville family of people that traveled in the wagons around the Midwest, and he joined them, and all the wonderful stuff. I mean, we got some of the film, we got diaries, we got letters, we got the costumes, and we got the whole story. I mean, my car was just full of stuff, and in the end, we have done a lot of stuff, exhibits and programs, all built around Ben and Myrtle Huntley and this wonderful vaudeville story. And it's probably the nicest collection of vaudeville materials that anybody has in the Midwest.
Why don't you tell me a little bit about the new edition you've added?
Well, the new edition is kind of a four-year project. In the spring of 2006, the family descendants of the Lairds and the Nortons had started a sawmill here in Winona in 1855. The year before, in 2005, it celebrated their sesquicentennial, their 150th anniversary. And then in the spring of 2006, the family announced that it was selling the company that they all owned, and it was called the Lanoga Corporation. The Lanoga Corporation was the parent company of UBC, United Building Centers, which was headquartered here in Winona. And by selling the company at that time, they really, in essence, ended their 150-year connection with the Winona community. About a year earlier, the family president had made the observation, driving around Winona, that there's nothing in Winona that says Laird Norton on it. You know, we do have a Laird Street, we've got a public library that says on the outside it was donated by William Harris Laird, but nothing with the Laird Norton name. And of course, we remembered that comment, and at the time they were selling the company, our board chair was, and still is, one of those family descendants, Lori Lucas. And Lori and I put together a proposal to the Laird Norton Company, essentially asked them for $1.5 million towards what we thought would be about a $3 million project to build an addition onto the Historical Society. This building that we're in, the old National Guard Armory, is actually a building that they gave us back in 1971. We were in their building for 15 years prior to that. It was half of the second floor of what was the UBC office building across the street from the public library. So our connection with the Laird Norton Company, the Laird Norton descendants, goes way back. And so it seemed natural that, you know, this building was something that they cared a lot about. They cared a lot about the Historical Society ending their relationship. We thought, why not? Let's ask. And we did, and they quite quickly accepted the challenge and said, you know, we're going to give you a grant. You have 2 years to meet it. If you can raise $1.5 million, we'll give you $1.5 million. And that $1.5 million challenge grant that they gave us at the time was the largest challenge grant ever given to a county historical society. And we immediately needed to have some quick conversations with the county, the city, and the Port Authority, because the land that they wanted us to build on was a parking lot next to our building that we didn't own. And it was owned by Winona County. It was being used as a parking lot for Winona County employees. The Port Authority, the city, said to the county, you give the Historical Society this land, we'll provide the same number of parking spaces across the street for your employees. It seemed easy to us, but we ran into some opposition, some well-placed opposition to that, and consequently that whole project was held up for 13 months while we tried to work through this. in my mind, it seemed kind of needless at the time, but we nevertheless persevered and eventually bought the property from the Port Authority, who then bought it from they bought it from the county, and then we bought it from the Port Authority in August of 2007. We couldn't raise any money until we owned the land, and once the land issue was resolved, then we could move forward with hiring an architect, planning the building, and starting to raise money. So in 10 months, we raised $1.5 million. With 10 days to go in June of 2008, we announced the design of the building. We announced that we raised $1.5 million, but we also announced that we needed another $1.5 million because the planning of the project really came together, and the whole building, once it was actually designed and everything, it became a $4.5 million project. And at the time, the Slaggy family, Steve and Barb Slaggy, stood up and said, you know, we understand the Historical Society project here. We think it's a great project. They need another $1.5 million. When they raise another million, we're going to put $250,000 on top of that. These sort of opportunities along the way, these challenges were there, and they were very real challenges. And we just kept persevering and going after and talking to people and giving them an opportunity to be a part of what we think is a very interesting project. So over the next few months, you know, we'd worked so hard to raise that first $1.5 million. We rested for a couple of months and, you know, kind of backed off and just sort of took it a little bit easy. And just as we were going out to start raising that other $1.25 million, the economy started tanking in September of 2008. And we thought, okay, the market's unstable, listen, we'll give it a few weeks. Well, a few weeks went by, it wasn't any better, it was getting worse. Well, let's get through the election. Well, we got through the election, it still wasn't good. Let's get through the holidays. We got through the holidays, and it was January, and things were not good, but we were running out of time because there was a very real... We met the challenge grant of the Larry Norton Company, but the purchase agreement with the Port Authority and the county was, if we don't start construction on this project by August of 2009, the land reverts back to the county. We put way too much time and effort into this project to let that happen. So we just got out and started raising money, and just one donor at a time, and eventually it added up. And by July 1st, our goal was to be at $4 million, and we reached that with the prospect of another large donor. And we decided, okay, we're gonna go ahead. And on July 20th of 2009, we broke ground in the parking lot. And this Sunday, July 18th, 2 days short of 1 year of construction, we're going to celebrate the completion of this wonderful new addition with a ribbon cutting and all kinds of fun stuff.
Now, the funding you had for the new addition, was that all from donations?
It was. Almost all of that money, well, we received a little bit of in-kind help from the city of Winona. The Port Authority helped us by helping us salvage all of the wood and stone out of both that old Owl Motor building, the old livery stable. But otherwise, it was over 1,000 gifts that were given to this campaign, which is, our knowledge, the largest response to any capital campaign that this county's had. And those are from $5 money orders from Quick Trip that one of our members gave us, to the $1.5 million gift from the Laird Norton Company. But I mean, it's from a lot of people giving $50, $100, $500, $2,000 or $25,000, but every one of them was important. We think our donors should all be really proud of what they've built and want to share it with the community, take advantage of our 75th anniversary with this sort of being the capstone event for the year.
What kind of things are your new addition going to provide? How is this going to add on to the current museum?
That's a good question too, because the new addition, some people I think, is going to be all exhibit space, and it's really not a lot of exhibit space. It's a beautiful new lobby. The Slaggy family lobby, it's going to be called. We also have a new gift shop, new bathrooms, a coat room, something we've never had, you know, a catering kitchen, a huge new multi-purpose room for all kinds of events. The State Historic Preservation Conference is coming here in September. Prior to that, the first governor's debate after the primary is going to be held in that new multi-purpose room. My daughter's wedding rehearsal dinner is going to be there. couple of weeks from now. The whole space was designed to be used as a public gathering space, not only for our own events and programs that we do, but as rental space. We want people to come in and use our facility. I think one of the things the Historical Society in Winona County is doing is we're sort of on the cutting edge of what the direction I think historical societies and museums are doing or should be doing. You can't sit back and expect that people are going to come in and see the same old exhibits. You know, once they've seen them, unless you've got a lot of funding and staffing to change those exhibits often, something we don't, you need to find other ways to drive them into your building to, you know, rent it, new income from, you know, rentals for using those spaces, new memberships, new more gift shop sales, things like that. So we've done a lot of that with that in mind. There's also a large part of the new building that's additional collection storage space. We've been collecting for 75 years. Right around the corner from me today is a pretty large artifact, this new automobile that just came in that the local club, the Flatliners Club, just donated to us. There are certain artifacts out there that are always going to be important, and we want to add to the collection, and we need to have the space to do that. And, you know, I wish we had five times as much collection storage space as we have, but we'll work with what we have. And one of the solutions that we're looking at is installing movable shelving so we can maximize the storage capacity of the spaces that we do have. So that's something we'll be working on over the next few years, too.
We want to take a moment to thank Mark Peterson, Executive Director of the Winona Historical Society, for taking some time out to tell us the history of the society and about its new addition. You've been listening to Don't You Know on KQAL.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know. Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL-FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.